Well, thanks for coming out. I'm sure looks like the crowd. Everybody must have looked at the subject matter and said, "Oh, that's I don't know about that." But for those who are here last week, we're going to be doing I think it's about a 6 or 8 week study on a lot of financial areas and whether it be giving and I've got the topic of budgeting. So I'm going to open us up in prayer and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this place that we can come and worship and learn more and learn what you say in your word about our finances, Lord. I know that's a hard thing to talk about sometimes, but it is something that that's biblical, Lord. And we just pray that that this will be a subject. If anybody has any questions or struggling, that it just opens up opportunities to communicate. Just Lord, be with us through this day. In your name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, we got the word a few weeks ago asking folks who wanted to pick some subjects, and so I am a self-admitted spreadsheet financial geek. I've married somebody that was also financial, so it somehow we've made it work. A lot of people say, "Oh, you ought to be opposites," but we can spreadsheet the heck out of things, and we spend a lot of time doing that and looking it through this. So, you know, our journey through, Pamela and I's journey through budgeting and finances started way back when we first got married. We'll be married 32 years this August, and we went through back at Second Pres in Memphis. It was called Crown Ministries, which started in 1976, probably before Dave Ramsey ever even thought about anything about that. But so it was a great start and really kind of gave us a base. Our marriage, we actually moved this week and going through boxes as you do, and we found from our old Crown Ministries and books, literally saw it a week ago and put it somewhere and tried. I was going to bring it today and now we can't find it again. So we've had it for 32 years and now I've lost it. So that's kind of how we got started. And the other thing, when they brought this up, I was like, wow, this is what I do for a living. So just giving you a little background, I do budgeting and I help farmers with budgeting and tracking, their businesses. That's what I do every day, but for farming. So it's not on personal, but it's more on corn and soybeans and cotton and stuff like that. So it's what I do. So it was an easy win. And just like most people, farmers don't like really doing that. It's something people like, that's not a lot of fun. So it gives me a lot of job security. So that's good. So that's kind of the background. And when this opportunity came up, a lot of people were knocking down the door to want to do this. So it was an easy win for me. So let's start with we'll start with some perspective. First of all, it's all his. All the money we track, everything we do, it's his, and we're stewards of it. And that's really the basic tenets of this. So a couple of verses that we want to go through. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks and pay close attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. And then out of Luke, and he said unto them, which of you intending to build a tower will not first sit down and count the cost, lest having laid the foundation and not being able to finish, all that is built to be thrown down? Or which of you laying a foundation of a house will not first lay the foundation of stone and set the measure thereon, lest having laid the foundation and not being able to finish, all that is built be thrown down? For I say unto you, that unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So these are biblical principles. These are not something that man invented. These are from God's word. So the next page of the core teaching of this is basically Jesus says no one builds a tower without first sitting down and counting the cost. Budgeting's not a sign of anxiety or distrust. It's wisdom. And the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go get the one, he knew he had 99. He counted. They knew he had 99. So basically, you can't steward what you have not counted. These concepts are wise whether you're building a house, you're starting a business, buying a car, or going on a vacation. You want to count the cost. You want to know kind of what you're getting into. What is that? This does not always guarantee success, but it is a biblical principle. So some of the concepts we're talking about, most people, they never make a budget. They usually try and they quit. It's hard. It's cumbersome. They don't know what to do, how to go about it. But really, every dollar needs a label. That's what we do. And there's many ways to do this. And it's not deprivation. It's intentionality. I'll go back to some of my my clients, my farmers. I had a really large operation in Arkansas, and they really didn't know what was going on. They were confused. They were about, and they were scared. And they thought they were going out of business. And the grower, the farmer came to me, he said, you know, I'd rather not knowing is scarier than knowing bad news. I mean, you know, just that anxiety of not knowing what's going on. And I've had that happen in my life. I've had, you know, going through and like, I mean, I think things are fine, but I don't know. You know, I get to the end of the year and I thought this was happening and things looked different because I didn't know. So we've had years of practice doing that and trying to get away from that scariness of not knowing. So let's go to the next slide. This is, we talk about category allotment, and there's, you know, these are published and you can find these almost anywhere. And these are ones that were given to us. Like, if you're looking at your budget, these are numbers that are suggested. You know, housing, mortgage, utilities, all the thing that come with your home, 25% to 35%. Your transportation, car payment, gas, insurance, food, groceries, giving. So these are all the percentages that, and these come from a biblical perspective. We researched, this came to us that Les provided, and you can look at Crown Ministries or Dave Ramsey, all these other things. But to me, and these are broad. So, you know, that's, you know, if you look at your spending, if you go through your Visa, your checkbook or whatever, there's a lot more categories than this. That's a very broad perspective. And also, one of the things that as believers, you know, if you find yourself in abundance, you know, that may not work out. I had somebody years ago, I remember when we lived in Memphis, and first time I ever heard that, they decided what it took them to live. And they were God provided way above that, and they made the decision they were going to give away everything else. So, you know, some of these things are just, you know, that's a suggestion. But when you do find yourself in an abundant situation, those things can be tweaked. So just because you make X, maybe, you know, you don't need to spend 25% on your home. So those things can change. So now I'm going to talk about some real practical. Now I'm going to get into, these are some of the things that the books say, but now I'm going to get real practical. I'm going to go through, hey, here's thoughts from Alan Grafton Budgeting 101 and kind of how I go things and how I track things and really getting into some more detail. So over several years of trial and error and you know, going through life and trying to get an understanding of my own finances, I really came up with, for myself, really three core areas. And I call them essential, choice, and luxury. So that's kind of the start. So I put everything in those buckets, and then I track things. So now everything, you may say, choice, you have a choice in everything. You can buy a house at this level, you can buy a used car, you can buy a new car, you can choose to, you know, pay off your car. You can, so everything is a choice, But once you, these first ones, once you make that choice, then those are just kind of locked in. Those are regular things that are going to come out of your budget. They're going to, you're going to track those. So these are what I call, you know, the essentials. Everybody's going to have these, but you make a choice here. You know, be your mortgage, your rent, your taxes, your fuel, utilities, electric, water, gas. So all these things, when they come through my budgeting, I basically push everything into an Excel spreadsheet. There's a lot of technology out there. There's a lot of great apps. There's a lot of things that are available. But honestly, I push everything in an Excel spreadsheet and tag it. So it's pretty easy. Most every banking software, you can download information in Excel from your checking account, from your Visa, whatever credit line you have. So that's kind of what we do. But you know, if you go back to that first page with just those few categories, there's a lot more to it than that. And that's where you get lost. Like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what I spend on this. You know, what are my TV services, my cell phones, my home repairs? Do I have pest control? All sorts of things. So these are the things that can kind of get lost. You know, don't overthink it. If it's something you haven't struggled with here, you see a category ATM. This is Alan Grafton 101. This is what I do. I don't try to track cash. If I take and buy a Coke for, you know, $2 and I've got cash, I don't track that. I do when I pull money out of the ATM, it's just labeled ATM. Now, if I get to the end of the year and I've had some huge amount of money that came out of the ATM, I'm like, well, maybe I need to figure out where all that cash went. But, you know, just start with that. Start with the basics. So that's what I do. My least favorite category is miscellaneous, and we'll talk about that later. Hate that category, but is necessary. Some things just are miscellaneous. So these are all the things that come out of most everybody's checking account, and these things are pretty much all necessary, the essentials. Let's go to the next one. So these are choices we make in life. So these are things, again, we all spend. You're probably going to spend some of these categories. If you don't have a pet at home, you're not going to have pet care. But these are all things that we spend, and we have to make choices. So, you know, depending on where you are you know, we all have to buy clothes. Am I going to go to Hinton and Hinton, or I'm going to go to Walmart? You know, so it depends. Eating out, you know, am I going to City Grocery or am I going to Sonic? You know, so these are all things that choices that we make through our life that we have to account for. And when times are tight, you know, those are things that we can ratchet down and help move the needle if things aren't going so well. Or things that we say, you know what, this is a choice I make. I want to go to City Grocery. One of the things here that I've come to do over the year is, as you see, a travel. Travel is different than vacation. If I go see my daughter at Auburn and we go over to see her, that's travel money I spent. That wasn't necessarily a vacation. So I tag that travel. It just helps me to see what we're spending. So those are two different. That, again, that's kind of something that I started for my own personal use and then helped me to track. You know, things that we may, you know, yard maintenance. Are we going to mow our yard ourselves, or are we going to pay somebody else to do it? So these are all things, again, that we make choices. The entertainment, eating out, looks like we accidentally have entertainment on there twice, but you know, those can kind of come together, eating out. But eating out, that's different than groceries. So those are two different, you know, entertainment, movies, concerts, things like that. But it's really easy to put this information in a spreadsheet and just tag it to that. School tuition, you know, or that's another one that we all have to make decisions on. So those are choices. The third category that we'll jump over to, this is luxury. And this is what I've always said, and we've already talked about, you know, if something happens in life, we lose a job, we have some life event, these things can be totally cut out. My alma mater probably would not appreciate this, but I don't have to buy Ole Miss football tickets. I can cut them out. You know, I don't have to go on vacation. You may end up being in a situation where you can pay for your kid's college or not pay for your kid's college. Clubs, gym memberships. So those are the things in life that I've put down that I've said, you know what? Again, if something happens, some sort of life event, these things can totally be taken away. It's not a choice. This can be taken out of my life. I can't take away eating. I can't take away paying my insurance. I got to put fuel in my vehicle. But these things can be just totally taken away. Those are kind of how Alan Grafton has bracketed and done his expenses and Pamela's. So let's go to the next thing. Some other practical applications that we do. You know, sometimes, again, life events happen. If you have something, I'll give you a great example. Ice storm damage. Hopefully that is a one-time event. It may come again, but I spent quite a bit of money getting some trees cut out of my yard that was not in the budget. I did not have that in the budget going into this year, but you know, that money was spent. So those are kind of things, you know, that I earmark and say, okay, this was a one-time event. You know, getting my car maintained or whatever, car breaks down, those things are going to happen. But big things that happen in life, I kind of earmark those. When I tag things to address later, you know, that's what I feel like people get bogged down when they're going through this process of budgeting and tracking things. They come to something and like, well, I don't know what this is, or I don't know what to do with it. You know, just mark it, you know, my clients will go look at their books, and very popular Ask Accountant. You know, they'll put that in there, and so it's something they can come back to later to review and maybe get some counsel on, is asking about that later. So don't get bogged down if this is something you want to do in the uncertainty. Just mark it, put it aside, and come back to it later. Don't abuse miscellaneous. That's what we talked about a little bit. It's, you know, don't throw everything into miscellaneous. Call it what it is. But certainly some things are. If you get to the end of the year and you have, you know, 40% of your expenses hit miscellaneous, then maybe we need to dig a little deeper here. But try not to abuse that category. Go to the next one. So cautions. Underestimating food and entertainment. That's something that, you know, it's expensive. I still have a mindset that I can go grab lunch for $5. And that is just not, I mean, it is possible, I guess. There are maybe a few, I don't know, but I'm having a hard time finding them. You know, now I go to lunch and it's $12 to $15 for a pretty basic lunch, but I'm still in that mindset, it's $5. So those are things that we underestimate. You know, you go out to lunch, again, going back to decisions. Again, Alan Grafton, this mom personal, you know, I'll go make a turkey sandwich and take it to work instead of going out to lunch every day. You know, those are just practical decisions, but it can get away from you. That's the main point of those things. They can very much be underestimated. Those irregular expenses that, you know, the mortgage and the rent and the insurance that comes out every month, that's easy, you track it. But, you know, the car repairs, the big medical bill, oh, Christmas is coming, and, you know, is this going to be a big Christmas or a small Christmas? Well, that wasn't a regular thing. So the regular things, and that's where, you know, sometimes if you know those things and you can set aside money for those things. Especially in young families, you know, when you're getting started and you're trying to figure all that out, setting aside of money because you know those things are coming. Venmo, this is my favorite. We have struggled. This is my newest struggle in my budgeting is Venmo. It's worse than miscellaneous. I have a love-hate relationship with it. We moved recently and got some college kids and come help me move and all right, what's your Venmo? And send them $50 and it's really easy. But it is an absolute mystery. You go through the checking account and it's like, what was this for? You know, did you label it? Did you put a funny picture beside it so we know that this was for dog sitting or something like that? Where I get in trouble is, you know, Pamela goes to dinner with a big group of friends and she pays the bill. And so it all comes out the Visa, and then the 8 girls she went to dinner with Venmo her money. And so I have a big expense that's sitting there, and then the Venmo income gets lost. So those are the kind of things that happens, or somebody gives a party or something like that, and you pay for it, and then people pay you back. And it's just this mystery. All of a sudden, you know, there's a big deposit. And so anyway, that's a danger for me personally, and it kind of escapes because it can add up. So that and Amazon. So Amazon's the other one you see on the bill. It's just Amazon. I have no idea what this was for. I just paid Amazon. So then you got to go in and look and find out what that was for. So those, I failed to include Amazon, but that's another potential pitfall that I'd like to caution you about with budgeting. So let's talk about some tools. So there's some everyday tools called Everyday Dollar. It's a free website. It's a Dave Ramsey tool that you can use. You need a budget, and I will say I have not personally used those, so they were listed as good. So I'm saying that these came from Les, and so I haven't personally used them. Quicken for more advanced stuff, but again, you know, an Excel spreadsheet, you don't have to overthink it. If that's something you're not familiar with, I'm more than happy to talk. I enjoy it. That's what I do. I've shared my own personal spreadsheet with a lot of friends. It's like, here's a model that I use, and it's all set up. So I'm more than happy to always share that with anybody and kind of walk them through. But at the end of the day, you got to find out what works for you. You know, is technology, there's a lot of great technology out there that this stuff is more automated. But again, in my geek mode, I tend to want more categories and tag things differently, and maybe that's not available with the software that's out there. So, but again, find out what works for you in all this. What are some practical, you know, how do we, you know, what do we want to get out of this? How do we want to move forward? If this is something, and I would say, you know, for people who are here that maybe their family members are here, or you know, you have children getting married. You know, I know that's something I'm going to encourage. Our son just got married in this past October. So, you know, it may not be for you. You may have that may be not a struggle. But I will say for young families starting out, anybody right out of college, getting out and starting to put these good principles at work can be really good value. And because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much or how little money you have. It's just principles. It's good practice to go through. So what we want to do out of this is write those things down. Assign expenses to a category. And start wherever you want. What category works for you? And what I always like to say is progress over perfection. So anything we do, just don't get bogged down. It's like, oh my gosh, it has to be perfect. It has to be absolutely right. You know, just start with the little stuff and make some progress. And the next month, for me, it just evolved. It wasn't perfect, and it's still not perfect. But it's just evolved over the years and gone from one level to another. And The other thing is seek counsel. Seek a friend. Seek an objective party. Use the church as a resource. Use what's out there. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So, you know, use counsel. Don't be afraid. If it's something that you're struggling with, that is a thorn, there are people in this church that want to help and provide counsel on these things. Because I know they can't be, you know, it's not always fun to talk about. But you have a church here that wants to help. So the last thing is, we want to remember, I'm going to go back to this, it is all His. So Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And it is all His. So we're just stewards of it. And we want to be in His will. But at the end of the day, it's all His. And we want to find a balance of planning and overplanning. I mean, you can, the pendulum, and some people would probably say, maybe I've swung the pendulum. So I'm always trying to pull that back. It's like, all right, Alan, you're really getting out there with this. Quit. But that's part of me. I just enjoy it for some weird reason. So finding that balance between planning and faith. You know, God's going to take care of us. So finding that balance. And then finally, from Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's in the Lord's purpose that prevails. So again, just want to go back to these are some practical things. These are some things that we can do that are very practical in nature, but they all circle back where they should, is from Scripture. And those are, they're good godly practices that we should have in place. So I will just, if anybody has any questions, I know that's if anybody would like to reach out to me, and if you have any questions in private or want to connect someone that you know that is struggling in an area, I'm always happy to talk with anybody through this, or like I said, share any tools or anything I've had to work through in there. So feel free to contact me. But anybody have any questions or comments or things that they've had that worked for them? Yes, ma'am.
In high school?
I have not.
I wish you could.
Well, I would love to. I do think that those are probably an area that is, you know, we don't teach, you know, balancing checkbooks and things like that anymore. I think there are some classes like that, but yeah, that's those are, again, good practical tenets that if you start early, it's like everything. It's like tithing, you know. It gets, you know, as your money grows and all of a sudden that tithe gets bigger, you know, that becomes a harder thing to let go. So that's one of the things I've always wanted to teach my children, is like, you know, hey, tithe at the beginning when you have small dollars. So yeah, I'd love an opportunity to do that. Yeah, Amazon was something I've struggled with for a long time, especially with returns and all this stuff and what was this going on. But I finally, I have, through trial and error, found some ways that makes it a lot easier to search those. But yeah, that can definitely be a black hole, especially with all the back and forth and credits and you don't know where they are. But yeah, they do offer some ways to find that out. Absolutely. Those are great practical ways to put that money aside, like Christmas. But do people put stuff on layaway anymore? I remember as a kid, you would put stuff on layaway. And I remember that term as a kid growing up, my mom would have stuff on layaway for preparing for Christmas. Absolutely. And so I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah, most all the banking and checking, everything that's online, you can go in and put a memo, you know, right away when that's happening. So I really should have, that should have been something out there to practical application. My biggest hurdles are when I've waited months and all of a sudden I've got 6 or 8 months of stuff and it is just overwhelming. And then typically that's when I say, forget it, next year I'll do it. I mean, if I do it as it's coming, you know, every month and look at it, you know, and tackle that stuff as it comes, that way it's not such a big hurdle. Yeah, I have not personally used that, but I've heard everybody I've talked to, I was talking to somebody last night about it, and they said that was a really great app to figure out that stuff. Yeah, I love going through there, and I'm texting my son, you know, hey, we're still playing for this Pokemon app that you had in eighth grade, and he's 26 now, and well, I've wasted $2.99 a month for the last 12 years. So yeah, that stuff can be bad. Oh yeah, Rocket Money's a great free app that'll kind of find all those subscriptions for you. Every account I have, my bank checking and any credit cards, every single one of them have the feature to download it to Excel. And then I aggregate all those different accounts into one spreadsheet. I just copy and paste it over there. So I'm just downloading. It's a process for me, but I've gotten kind of routine with it. But I don't think I have any financial instrument that is not downloadable to Excel. There are some vague categories that they put to them, but that's where I could share my spreadsheet. I have, here's what they push to, and then I've created additional columns that then I put them in. I always tell my farmers, like, be consistent, even if it's wrong, be consistently wrong. So it's you can see that over time. And that's what you can get a balance sheet actually out of that process too. Well, thank y'all. Thanks for all the questions and comments. I appreciate that. A lot of good practical application. So, well, I will close this with prayer and let us go. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for, again, this place we can come and gather together. Lord, just we know that finances can be hard to talk about sometimes and private, but Lord, it is your money that you've provided for us. And Lord, we just want to be good stewards of it and use it to further your kingdom. And we thank you for the teachings of this church and the willingness to talk about these things and so many people with these great ideas. Lord, just be with us as we continue through your day in worship. In your name we pray. Amen.